We're going to enter into this. I know we've had a few services, but we're going to believe God to spark something in our hearts. Hallelujah. Just want to read you something very quickly. This is a significant student-led revival that was kind of taking place and began around 2023 or so. Auburn University, maybe many of you have heard, lots of universities where students were beginning to have a rekindling of fire in their heart, some church kids, some that had never known the Lord. And so many believe that this is another revival kindling in the earth. One of the things that we notice about revival is that it's sustainable and that it lasts a long time. Amen. And so just because you can have some of what we were experiencing during those moments, if it's not sustainable, is it true revival? And in the Bible, the book of Acts is where we're going to go. Amen. We see sustainable revival. We see some components that were taking place in the early church. Talking about after Jesus was crucified, he had risen from the dead. Amen. The Holy Spirit had come. There were some natural things that had occurred, amen, in the early church. Amen. And we need to see those things occurring in all of the churches in the world, especially in the times that we're living in the last days. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 if you have a Bible this morning. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to believe the Lord to minister and speak by His Spirit. Acts chapter 2, beginning verse 40 through 47. If you're there, say amen. And we will begin. Acts 2, 40 through 47. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. The word of God reads as thus, beginning in verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you this morning. We're asking, Lord, that you would move by your Spirit. Lord, that you would give an encounter with every soul that's present, that you would stir within every heart, oh Lord, a desire to be used of you. But more than that, Lord God, it is by your Spirit that all things shall be accomplished. We pray, Lord God, that a spirit of revival would indeed be loosed in this congregation and from every life, and that what you're beginning in this place and beginning in every individual heart, Lord God, would have an impact in the community and families in this state, the nation, and the world beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. People of God, shout this morning, amen. And amen. So let's talk about old-time revival. Old-time revival. Our text, amen, characterizes a church with vitality. Everybody say vitality. Now, vitality means that there is fervor there. Amen. It means that there is a true excitement, not just the emotional excitement, amen, but it's something that is inspired in the heart. It's in the mind. It's a result of what's taking place spiritually. In our text, there are many things that were taking place that can describe, amen, the spirit of what's taking place in that church. It was very observable, amen. But the reality is, amen, is God was adding souls to the church daily, those that would be saved. Hallelujah. And so we are in a time of revival. We have preachers come in. You're going to have revival services. We got revival. What is that really about? Amen. And the issue is that we desire or long for the results that are seen in our text. How is that achieved? How has it occurred? Amen. And I'll just say this. It won't be by my slick words. You know, there's all kind of preachers. Some will get you hype. Maybe they might give you some false words, or people know how to work the crowd. You see that in false revivals throughout time. You got people that work the crowd, or they'll get people in an emotional tizzy, and people will get all this and that. What we're talking about is the handiwork of God. Can you say amen? Where God, and by his Spirit, he's moving, he's touching hearts, and it causes a vitality, amen, in the church. Hallelujah. And so old-time revival, amen, needs to be brought back. Can you say amen? Or it needs to be restirred, or it needs to be rekindled. And our conversation has to do with another time in history. Amen. Another record in history where God, amen, by his Spirit, amen, is turning hearts back unto himself. Amen. Where people, they want to come into church. Amen. There's a repentance there. They're desperately seeking God. They want God more than anything. Hallelujah. And so history records four major great awakenings. Or revivals, amen. And the first, amen, is, amen, 1730s to 1740s, amen. There was the first great awakening, a 10-year period where it began in a moment, but then it began to end at a moment. And then the second great awakening, 1790s to 1840s, amen, about 50-year period, 1857 to 1859, and then 1960s to the 1970s, amen. And some analysis talk about broader characterizations of revival that have taken place since the 1700s, including the Welsh Revival and the Azusa Street Revival. And what we're seeing, amen, is that old-time revival is active in some places, but not everywhere. Can you say amen? What began on the day of Pentecost, amen, Acts chapter 2, is the coming of the Holy Spirit. What began on the day of Pentecost, the early church's birth, what began, amen, hallelujah, is still at work in some places, but it has died off in many places. Amen. Our fellowship is the product of the Jesus People movement. Some of you know that. Some of you don't know that. Amen. But it was during a time when the 60s and the 70s, a time when churches were experiencing supernatural things similar to that you see in the book of Acts. If you read the book of Acts in your own time, that's a good place to read in the Bible. Similar results were taking place. One of the things that was the baptism in the Holy Spirit, where there was speaking in tongues, amen. But not only that, believers were being brought back to a more biblical view of Christianity or living for God. New churches were springing up, new factions of churches springing up. Hallelujah. And so we are, amen, a part of, amen, this wonderful worldwide fellowship that has begun. And we are one of the maybe three streams of that revival that took place from the Jesus People movement. I remember Pastor Wayman Mitchell, founder of our fellowship, late founding pastor. He would stand before Bible conferences across the world, and he would look at everybody, and he would say, "This is a move of God." And this is a move of God. And he would lift up his hands. This is not of my handiwork. This isn't of my genius. And what he was trying to cause the people to understand is that this wonderful move of God that we are a part of, maybe you don't really understand, we're not the only people, but we are part of a worldwide movement of God where God is transforming hearts and lives across the world. And he wanted people to know it's not because of me, it's because of the handiwork of God. Can you say amen? And we are, amen, one of those streams, amen, of that revival. And so I travel often. I'm able to go to lots of churches. I mentioned big stages, little stages. Amen. And the spirit of revival is not everywhere, and not even in all of our churches. Amen. Church services in some places have become just a little more than religious tradition. Amen. We know how many songs we're going to sing, don't we? We know I'm going to sing this song and then that's it. We know that we're going to maybe give an offering. We know we're going to hear a sermon and then, okay, see you later. And then life back to normal as usual. And people end up getting caught up in just religious tradition. Are you understanding me? Amen. You know, we got the religious tradition. We got this. Amen. The spirit many times is quenched. No real liberality to worship God. Amen. And people can major in the form of what we are instead of the spirit of what we are. It's been said many times, if you want what we have, then you have to be what we are. Talking to as we launch couples into into the nations or different cities, as couples are being prepared in your church, amen, perhaps be launched to other places. You're not going to just because you have the door or the potter's house or some kind of name on your church, that doesn't mean that the spirit of revival is actually there. It's something you're going to have to contend for. And you say amen. And so, many times, amen, there's a misunderstanding about what real revival is. They were trying to figure out, is what's taking place in the university, is that real revival? Or what is real revival? Man, all these people came out to the tent meeting, and all these people prayed a prayer, but at the end of that, after those meetings, your pastor even mentioned, even after this revival, in the spirit of it, it will continue. Those people just go back to their normal lives, focus on whatever they're focused on, and there's no real shift in the world. Hallelujah. I was doing a recent revival. This is in Laredo, Texas. Pastor's name is Jorge Morales. Amen. And as I went into that church, it just reminded me of so many things. And I said, man, this reminds me of old time revival. This church, amen, there was a vibrancy there. And as I'm sitting in the seat over there, I'm looking at the pastor, and I'm like, he doesn't even know, amen, what God is doing in the church. He can see, but he can't truly appreciate what God was doing in his church. I can see it because I come from the outside. Right? You come from the outside, even as a visitor, you come into a church, you can begin to sense some things. And I'm like, this church is in revival. The converts were hungry for the word of God. Teach me the word of God. There was a liberality. They were asking questions. They wanted to pray. Amen. Worship was just anointed. Amen. Amen. They were just itching for more and more and more. There was a buzz in the church. It was just so refreshing. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. It wasn't just finagling of emotions. It wasn't just people that were naive and had no idea of God, but this was the people that were excited for God. They wanted more and more and more of God. So refreshing, amen, to encounter that versus to encounter something that's just religious and dead. Before I came to our fellowship, I ministered a little bit last night about coming from the Muslim background. I had been attempting, I had become a Christian, then I was attending a Baptist church. Slightly different doctrines in some sense than a Pentecostal. In the heart of everything, the same teachings, amen. The primary difference is the Holy Spirit reference or what the Holy Spirit can do, amen. And so I was invited to a Pentecostal church. We are Pentecostal fellowship, amen. I met a young man by the name of Juan Alvarez. I mentioned him last night. And Juan Alvarez, I met him at a Starbucks. And the first thing he told me when we locked eyes, he said, has anybody ever told you about Jesus? I said, yeah, man, I'm a Christian. I'm reading my Bible. I was reading my Bible. I was over there reading my Bible. I had made a decision to go there instead of going to the club. Thank God. Hallelujah. And so he looked at me and he said, has anybody told you about Jesus? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, but God, there's revival in my church. And I said, okay, cool. I said, we'll have revival too. We were having a guest preacher come in. We had this guy that was going to come in and preach. And I said, yeah, we got this guy coming. He's going to preach some services. He said, no, I'm not talking about that. He's talking about there's real revival. Like young people are getting saved. People are repenting of their sins. They're turning their hearts to God. They're thirsty for God. And I'm so grateful today, amen, that God caused our paths to cross. He's no longer walking with the Lord, that young man. I'm still walking with the Lord, but God used that encounter, amen, to start a revival in my spirit. And the revival that began, amen, it has not ended. Can you say amen? I've still got revival in my soul. Hallelujah. And I was discipled, amen, in a church that had revival. Hallelujah. Everybody at church was seeking the will of God for their lives. It wasn't just, I'm coming to church, just Sunday, so we're going to church, this thing. But they were, Lord, what is your will for my life? They would be in the prayer room, amen, just confessing their sins, crying out to God. I have a dear cousin of mine, first cousin, more like a brother. We grew up, my nuclear family grew up in the Muslim faith. The other side grew up in the Christian faith, Baptist church. And my cousin came to stay with my wife and I for 1 month. And in that 1 month, his life was transformed. Amen. On our side, if you can pray well, especially in the black population, if you can pray well, they're like, ooh, that boy can pray. Ooh, that boy can pray. He calls down heaven. Ooh, he can, he'll lift off the roof. And so that's the kind of idea. And so my cousin who had come from Louisiana, they always wanted him to pray for everything, because he had some kind of unction on his life. But when he came to stay with my wife and I, he was taken aback. He said, how do y'all live like y'all live? It's like y'all got victory. It's like y'all are living clean. And when I went to y'all's church, people were just confessing their sins, and they wasn't hiding anything. They wasn't ashamed. And so then we would go to family gatherings, and they would call on him to pray. Okay, Red, it's your time to pray. He said, no, I'm not praying. He said, you got to call on him to pray. Amen. Amen. And because what he was experiencing in life, not throwing any stones, no one's better than anybody, but if there's a spirit of revival, it's there. And if it's not there, it's not there. Has this church ever experienced the type of spirit of revival that I'm describing? I don't know. I don't know the history of this church. I don't know anything about this church. If it has, the question is it still as vibrant as it was before? Amen, because there's a reality that those revivals, the first great awakening, it began and then it ended. The second great awakening, it began and then somehow it ended. Right? Somehow something that begins, it's exciting, and then all of a sudden it begins to go down or to be lost or stopped. Amen. Even after Pentecost, amen, the Holy Spirit coming down, amen, what the apostles worked so hard, amen, to establish, it somehow has waned in many places. And if the stream has stopped or dried up, why has it? Our text is the description of the early church, amen, and could you imagine being a part of a church that's so on fire that the Spirit of God is so much there, amen, that the Bible says that in one day, 3,000 souls got saved and they were added to the church. Brother, would you let that visitor in really quickly and welcome him? Say welcome. And now close the door. Amen. Let that other visitor come in, brother. Hold on. There's another one coming. Come on, brother. And close the door. Amen. There's another one coming. Open the door. Amen. And another one. Amen. Can you just imagine where this place has been flooded and flooded and flooded and flooded? And when the people come here, it's not that they're just going to do some religious Sunday thing. I came to church today. What are we going to do? But the presence and the power of God was so thick that all they wanted to do was fall on their knees. They wanted to get right with God. Can you say amen? We're talking about old time revival. Amen. Can you imagine being in a church on so on fire that the people expected something supernatural to happen? Can you say amen? There was signs and wonders and miracles and healings and deliverance. Amen. Everywhere I minister, amen, no matter where I go, I rely fully on my God. And I say, I know God's going to do something for you today. And I brag on my God, and you know, and I say, God's going to heal you today. And I'd be like, Lord, please heal them today. I say, God's going to deliver you today. And I'd be like, Lord, I said you was going to deliver them. Lord, please deliver them today. Can you say amen? And there was an expectation, amen, that not just some TED talk or some kind of little assembly is going on, amen, but something supernatural was going to occur. We're talking about old-time revival. Can you say amen? A church on fire, hallelujah, amen, that converts can't get enough of the word of God. I'm not throwing any stones at you. If you just come to one service a week, thank God for you. Keep coming, hallelujah. But you need more than one service. Can you say amen? Can somebody say amen? Amen. The world has it right. They say if you want to become an engineer or some kind of professional, you need to go to school every day. I got to go to school again. The world has it right. You have to give yourself. Hallelujah. And so when I witness revival in a place, I get excited. I'm like, man, that's revival. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing to see. But then if I don't observe revival, I get grieved in my spirit. You know, and so then the Lord says, son, well, at least function for me. Maybe you can be a vessel of mine, maybe to spark some revival in a place. Am I insinuating that there is not revival here? You say, is he saying that we got revival here or don't we got revival? What is he saying? Did he say that our church is dead or do we got some fire in it? What is he really saying this morning? I'm not saying anything. All I'm saying is that there are some natural things that occur, amen. There are some things that cause vitality in a congregation, and either you have those things or you don't have them. If you have them, praise the Lord. If you don't have them, amen, then it needs to initiate. Old-time revival needs to be brought back. And so let's consider a couple of dynamics here, amen, on what is required for old-time revival. I'm going to get my timer here. All right. Hallelujah. And so obviously the first thing that's required is the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. There can be no spirit of revival without the Spirit of God. Okay, before Jesus came along, the people were highly religious. They knew about the law of Moses. They had all the old precepts, amen, but yet they had no true revelation and walking with God. The last book of the Old Testament is Malachi, amen, and from Malachi to the virgin birth, it was approximately 400 years. And so just imagine that, you know, the virgin child is going to be born in the earth, and through that child, salvation would come to the world. Isn't that right? 400 years of silence is what it's called, from Malachi to the virgin birth. And so just imagine there's religion for 400 years. There's a waiting on a supposed Messiah or a Savior that's coming. Amen. And when Jesus came to the earth, according to prophecy, would be born of a virgin, would be betrayed by a friend, betrayed by a kiss, all the things after he had discipled and done all these things. According to prophecy, Jesus Christ was crucified. According to the scripture, he rose from the dead with all power and all authority. And, amen, the Holy Spirit came. Amen. Can you say amen? The Holy, he says, I must go away. It's better that I go away so that I can send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And it was on the day of Pentecost, amen, that the Holy Spirit had come down. Can you say amen? And so our text is the record of what naturally occurred after the initial coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Listen carefully. This sermon is not a sermon on trying to get you to speak in tongues. Are you hearing what I'm telling you this morning? When I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I was never taught about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about speaking in tongues. I didn't know anything about any of those kind of things. I had come from a Muslim background. Amen. I was attending a Christian church that didn't even speak in tongues. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit in a Baptist church. And from that moment, a stream of revival, amen, began in my life. This is a Pentecostal fellowship. Not in name only, but in manifestation of power and dominion. Not only do we speak in tongues, but when we do, demons tremble. Can you say amen? When I was faced, and when I'm faced with demon spirits, many occasions, amen, and those demons are manifesting. I don't have any power myself, but the Holy Spirit, I begin speaking in tongues, shekor, and God begins to cast out, amen, those demon presences. Can you say amen? Amen. And so I said, demons tremble, amen, when we speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's supernatural work is accomplished, amen, when we're filled with the Spirit. The Bible says that Samson was born. He was a prophet. He was going to be born specifically to begin delivering God's people from the enemy, from the Philistines. He was born for that specific purpose, and every time he would stand before the enemy, the Bible says that the Spirit of God would come upon him, hallelujah, and the Spirit of God would come upon him, and somehow a simple man would now be supernaturally equipped to bring deliverance to God's people. 1,000 people, amen, killed with the jawbone of a donkey. Amen. This brother could lift up, amen, the city gates. That's a strong dude, amen. Have you ever tried to lift up something, amen? This brother could lift up. It wasn't natural power, supernatural power. And the Bible says that our gospel doesn't come to you in word only, but in power. In other words, this is not just a TED talk. In other words, something supernatural can occur. In other words, you can get a deliverance. You can get a healing. Something supernatural can occur because God is supernatural. Can you say amen? And so old-time revival requires the Spirit of God touching people, filling people. Hallelujah. Mark 16:20, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word of God through the accompanying signs. Amen. I know some churches The only time they pray for the sick or believe something for the supernatural is when they have the evangelist come in. Amen. Old time revival. We didn't wait. We didn't wait. Even as newer converts, we didn't wait to pray for somebody to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We didn't wait, amen, to pray for somebody who we thought had a demon or somebody who had a demon. Amen. Brother, look at that. Look like that brother got a demon. Let's go cast that thing out. Amen. 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 We didn't wait. Amen. Because we understood that if that convert is going to overcome, they need the same infilling that we had. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're going to overcome, you're not going to just overcome in your own natural self. You need something outside of yourself. Can you say amen? I remember I was a newer convert. I was new. I didn't really know. There was a guy who had come to church, and he said, "Can y'all come to my house and pray? I think I got demons in my house." And some of you think demons aren't real, but they're real. So we say, yeah, we're going to go to pray. We go to his house, you know, and as we go in his house, it started getting colder and colder, and icicles started coming from the ceiling. No. No, but you know how you start feeling something weird. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this don't feel right. So we go in inside the house and start praying for this brother, and we're praying for him, and so he starts to manifest. Nothing happened, I mean, as far as casting out, but I said, man, this stuff is real. I said, demons and all that. I said, this stuff is real. I didn't have any dominion at the time, but then I began contending for it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so you don't have to just wait for the pastor, amen. You know, people need prayer. Can you say amen? Acts 2:4, the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How many people speak in tongues here? You speak in tongues. Do you pray for the sick? You speak in tongues, but do you pray for the sick? You speak in tongues, but do you contend to cast out demons? You're at work and you got a person next to you that's sick. Do you say, well, let me bring you to church, you know, maybe my pastor can pray for you. But, you know, at break time, you were in your car, you know, you were fasting that day. And you were at work and you were, you know, praying and you were speaking in tongues. You're speaking in English, whatever language, and tongue. And then you just see this person that's sick, but then you don't even pray for them. You're speaking in tongues, but you don't do anything. Why are you speaking in tongues? I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. Whoa, praise the Lord. Amen. Do you have any power associated with that? Can you say amen? Oh, yeah, I'm a Holy Ghost filled. Yes, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. Woo! But dude, is it just that or is it something more? And on that day of Pentecost, a revival stream began. Amen. I said a revival stream began. All those that gathered were filled with the Holy Spirit. Many were saved. Amen. And what was initiated was Holy Spirit-inspired evangelism. One man said, when the Holy Spirit comes, a spirit of evangelism or a missionary spirit is stirred. Amen. Pentecost is the event of our text. Amen. It's likened to revival or an awakening. And that time, it was the first time of the outpouring. Now we have the first great awakening, the second great awakening, all these different awakenings. And in each of those, amen, there is a presence of God, amen. And what God was doing now in one place, that first great awakening, last 10 years, God began to do something in one place, but then it began to spill out, amen, to other areas, other cities, other nations even. Can you say amen? So it started in one place. Let's pretend that this is the only church in the entire world. Now we know it's not, right? Let's pretend that you're the only Christians in the entire world. We know that that's not the case, but let's just pretend. And what would begin in one individual's heart, or what will begin in one congregation, would begin, amen, to spill out into other areas. That is how the Great Awakenings took place. Revival was in England. It was in Scotland. It was in Africa. It was in this place. It was in that place. And it began to spill out. The only problem is that it was start, and then somehow it was lost. Hallelujah. But the point is, hallelujah, is that it was a spirit of extending the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? And so what began in Prescott, Arizona, one worldwide fellowship. We are the Potter's House Christian Fellowship, Door Christian Fellowship, amen. What began in the heart of one man and one woman, one couple, simple people, normal just like you and I, hallelujah, amen, it began to spill over in other places. The line of succession of this congregation, Prescott. What is the line of this succession of this congregation? Prescott. Then it goes to what, and then to what, and to what, and to what? I don't know the whole line. Amen. But what started in one place, amen, begins to touch other nations. Can you say amen? And one of the primary reasons for the necessity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is empowerment for witness. Jesus told his firsthand disciples, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, when you have this infilling, el investimiento sobrenatural, this supernatural endowment from God, what's going to occur is you're going to have a boldness to be able to fulfill the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. You'll have not only power, amen, but you will be fully equipped. And Christianity did not begin in America. Can you say amen? They said, that's just a white man's religion. That's what people say. Christianity is just a white man's religion. No, it didn't come from no white man. We're talking about a message for all peoples, all populations, all nations, for the reconciliation of man unto God. That it is only through the man Jesus who was crucified and who rose from the dead, his spilled blood is what is sufficient payment for the sins of the entire world. Hallelujah. And so what is required? What's required is contrition. Everybody say contrition. It's a repentance that stems from true remorse for what God has done or for what you've done against God. Amen. See, what happens is we become religious. We grow up in religion. Our parents teach us religion. We start coming to church, or perhaps you never had religion. You come to church. We know how to dress well. Amen. But we forget that we're in God's presence. This is God's house, isn't it? Amen. And, you know, you can't be sinning in God's presence. Can you say amen? There should be some kind of shame or guilt. Amen. Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, they wanted to cover their nakedness. They had their consciences were pricked. You know, we can become, I'd say, professional Christians. Amen. And we can forget that we're in God's presence. We're not as sensitive as we were to when we first came or when we knew God. It's like we start compromising here a little bit there. And we just kind of sin. And there is no true sense of I need to get rid of this stuff in my life. I'm in church. But I'm in sin. And there's no true remorse for what you're doing. That my sin put Jesus on the cross. Amen. And we need to cry some real tears. I mean that it's okay to cry in God's presence. We need to be able to throw ourselves down before God. And see ourselves and say, oh, Lord, what am I doing? Oh, my God. Can we come back to that? Lord, oh, my God, Lord. Oh, man, I'm just not right in my spirit. Lord, my thoughts and my actions, Lord, oh, Lord, cleanse me, God, cleanse me again. Amen. And every time a revival began, it began to die because people began to compromise with sin and complacency in their lives. Amen. And the stream of what God did when you first got saved begins to dry up in your life. You know, Peter cried, didn't he? Jesus says, you think you're strong, don't you? Yeah, man, Jesus, I'm ready to go to, I'm willing to die, I'm willing to go to jail for you, Jesus. I'm willing to die for you, Jesus. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Nah, I ain't going to do that, man. I'm faithful, man. You got the wrong guy. But when he recognized that he was brought to tears and emotions, Lord, I really transgressed. Judas also cried, didn't he? Judas cried, amen. Oh, I've offended, I've innocent blood, but yet there was no repentance found from Judas. Can you say amen? Esau wept, not because he wanted the promises of God, but rather because he lost some blessing. But it really wasn't about having that covenant with God for him. And so you might just need to throw yourself down in true repentance and say, Lord, cleanse me today. Can you say amen? What's required? It was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God began drawing people. Many people were getting saved. Amen. But there was authoritative preaching. There was Holy Ghost teaching and authority. The people were following the teachings and the doctrines of the apostles, the text said. Amen. Daily, they were in the temple. Amen. That they were following those teachings and those doctrines. Amen. There wasn't option. It wasn't optional. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of God is not optional. Today, amen, people don't want you to preach truth. If you start talking about or touching on their sin, they say, I think I need to find a better church. No, those people that were repented, that were added to the church, they were repented, be saved from this perverse generation. And they repented and they remained. It wasn't that they just repented one day and were crying and then they never came back ever again. And there was authoritative preaching. Some of you made vows to God that you haven't kept. You said, Lord, if you get me out of this one, Lord, then I'm going to serve you for the rest of my days. And you still ain't serving God. You said, Lord, if you hide me from my enemies, I promise, Lord, if you get me out of jail, Lord, if you do this, then I'm going to do that. I'm going to give you my kids. And some of you are still not giving your kids to God. And you say, amen. God's good. Sometimes I just want to come to church and cry, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes I think that's weak, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to be crying, you know. I ain't talking about you, man. I ain't talking about you. I'm not talking about you. Just talking about people. Amen. They come to church and they don't know what that feeling is. That's God drawing on them. It's God tugging them. It's God dealing with them because he wants to give them something better. And you say, man? Jesus says, my Father's house should be a house of prayer. Can you say amen? All the different revivals, amen, that began. Repentance, the spirit of God, but there was a spirit of prayer and a spirit of contending that began to take place in those places. I want to read you this very quickly. This is the layman's prayer revival of 1858. When I say that God's spirit overwhelmed in a dramatic and overpowering fashion, you can't possibly imagine to what extent Let me give you an idea. As the ships drew within 100 miles of the ports of American cities experiencing revival, they, quote, seemed to come into a zone of the Spirit's influence. Ship after ship arrived with the same tale of sudden conviction and conversion. In one ship, a captain and an entire crew of 30 men found Christ out at sea and entered the harbor rejoicing. Imagine the scene. In New York Harbor, 1,000 men kneeling on the bottom deck of the battleship North Carolina, weeping and shouting for mercy. As the revival spread from city to city in the U.S. and the entire metropolitan area was swept up into prayer meetings like here in the account of Philadelphia. At first, only a small room was occupied with a few in attendance. Then it became overflowing, and the meeting moved to the main saloon. Meetings started there on the 10th of March. 2,500 seats were provided and were filled to overflowing. The sponsors next removed a partition from the main floor space and platform. Next, the floor platform and lower gallery. Then floor platform and galleries were both filled up fully. 6,000 people gathered daily. For months on end, separate churches were open at least each evening. Some of them as often as 3 and 5 times a day were all filled. Simple prayer, confession, and exhortation and singing was all that was happening. But it was honest, solemn. The silence was so awful, the singing so overpowering. The meetings were unforgettable. In order to continue the work, which flooded churches with inquirers and converts, a big canvas tent was bought for $2,000 and opened for religious services on May 1st, 1858. During the following 4 months, 150,000 attended the ministry, amen, and Philadelphia reported 5,000 converts won. Amen. So many components that need to be there. We're talking about them, delineating them, but we don't want to just have this as a mental thing. We need these things to be active and flowing and natural parts. Because when the Spirit of God came, all of these things naturally occurred. The people they gathered daily, people they had all things in common, they shared, they had a genuine love for one another. And if you're stale this morning, you need to cast off that stale spirit. Can you say amen? If you're jaded by society, or the pastor did a wonderful Sunday school this morning talking about basically loving people who have hurt you deeply. People can hurt you deeply in life, even inside the church. You need to learn to forgive those people. Can you say amen? Don't allow offenses to hinder or stop what God is aiming to do through imperfect people. Hallelujah. You've been saved 6 months or less. Raise your hand. You've been saved. Come here. Come here. Anybody else? You've been saved 6 months or less. 6 months or less. Come here. Come here. 6 months or less. Anybody else? Amen. You've been saved a year or less. Come here real quick. If that's you, real quick. You've been saved a year or less. All right. Now, y'all don't be trying to listen. I'm going to tell them something in their ear. Y'all come here. We almost done. Y'all come close. Come close. Let's huddle up. Let's huddle up. We're getting ready to do it. Come on, huddle up. All right. Okay, it's very important that when people come into your church, that they can identify people that are on fire for God. And you say amen. All right, go ahead. Who you with? Yeah. Well, get there. Amen. All right. Now, just very simply, these people, I told them, I said, what you need to do is find somebody who you think is on fire for God. And if you connect your life to that person, you're going to have this powerful flow, and you're going to just be able to serve God and make it go next to those people. Amen. So if somebody, if they sat next to you, that's what that person thinks about you. Hallelujah. Now, it ain't saying nothing against everybody else. Amen. But this brother, he said, you got something that he wants. Did you hear that? He said, you have something that he wants. Do you have something that you can give him? Do you? I don't know. If you don't, you better find it out. Amen. Who are you standing next to? Amen. Okay, well, same thing is true for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Who else was up here? You sat next to my. Okay. Amen. The point is that you have to have revival in yourself. We're closing right now. You got to have revival stream in yourself. When you talk about all the revivals that have come and gone, it's always normally focused on one person. Oh, this person started it. This person started it. Wow, that person. But no, the revival stream has to be inside of each and every one of us. That as converts come, single men can latch on to single men or man that he's inspired by. Single women can come in and latch on to single women or women that they're inspired by. Couples can come into a church from the world and they can see couples that inspire them. They say, that couple has revival in them. If I connect to them, I can make it. Can you say amen? And that's what we need. Do we have that here in this church? I'm not saying you don't. But what I'm saying is revivals, they begin and they end. But we can't have it to end. We have to stir it up. Can you say amen? Stir it up. But it has to be a personal desire from every heart. Let's bow our heads this morning in the presence of God. Thank you for your patience. Hallelujah. Thank you for your patience. Because we will become like those who we associate with. If we're in a church that's dead, then we will remain dead. If we're in a church that's on fire, then we will catch fire. Hallelujah. Precious God, we honor you this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you convict us of our sins, not in a way to condemn us, but that you open the door for us to be forgiven of our sins. Forgive us, O Lord God, for compromise. Forgive us, Lord God, for doing things that we know don't please you. We ask you to help us this morning to glorify you with our lives. You're here today and you're not a Christian. Maybe someone invited you to church, but you've never truly, with your free will and with your heart, made a decision to judge your own life, to judge the sins in your life, and to believe on Jesus Christ. Simply, Old Testament tells us how death came into the world. Because of man's disobedience, there's a separation between man and God. The New Testament, the gospel, tells us how Jesus overcame death, that his blood was spilled, that if you would call upon him in repentance and faith, amen, that God in that moment, in that exact moment, would forgive you of all sin, any sin you've ever committed. And I would count it such a privilege this day, amen, to simply say a prayer with you where you can turn your heart fully to God in repentance and in faith. And while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you want to be honest with God this morning. Lord, I've come and I want restored relationship with you. Would you forgive me of my sins? You want prayer? Just lift up your hand where I can see it this morning. I want to turn my heart to you, oh God. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just lift up your hand this morning. You want prayer? Now, I want to pray with you. How many would there be? How many would there be this morning? I'm not right with God, but I want to turn my heart to him. Amen. Lift it up where I can see it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. God wants to forgive you. Would there be any? How many are there this morning that want to turn their hearts to God? Or you serve God at one point, but you are compromising with the world. Or maybe you're living in some kind of sin, or you need to repent of that. Amen. Do that this morning. Amen. You want prayer. I would love to pray with you. I count it such a privilege to lead you in a prayer, simple prayer, where God can begin restoring your entire life. If that's you, lift up your hand where I can see it. Lift it up all over the place. Holy Spirit's dealing with you. Don't leave this place holding on to sin. Forgiveness requires repentance and faith. Lord, forgive me for this. I'm in your presence. I'm in your house. I turn my heart to you. If that's you, don't wait another moment. Today is your moment. Now is your time. For all the brethren, the aim of this message simply is to stir in us the understanding that revival occurs naturally. It's not something that you have to be manipulated into. When the Spirit of God is there, when there's prayer and authoritative preaching, amen, where there's brotherly love, amen, there's some things that automatically occur in a church that one could say, man, that church has revival, amen, and that's what kind of church this church needs to be, and that's what this city and state needs. It needs this church and other churches to be on fire for God, but it begins with individuals. Lord, let the revival be kindled in my soul. That's our prayer as we're making our way to the altar. Lord, let your revival be kindled in me. Let there be a stream of revival in me, Lord God, that other people can be set ablaze for what you're doing in my spirit. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song of worship this morning. Hallelujah. Draw me close to you. And never let me go. I'll lay it all down again to know that you have been my friend. And you are my desire. And nothing else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. I know one day I'll see your face. And help me find the way. Bring me back to you. Help me know you. Let's just worship God. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Simplemente son palabras sencillas de Dios para tu vida. Dios me dijo que tienes don de liderazgo en tu vida, pero tú solo te has menospreciado sobre los años, y en las cosas que no has entendido de verdad, no has sentido comodidad de preguntarlas o decirlas, pero va a ser en el preguntar que Dios te va a capacitar para lo que Él tiene para su vida. ¿Okay? Entonces, que no te menosprecies en tus propios ojos. Los dones que Dios pone son espirituales, no tienes que ganarlas, son cosas que Dios pone conforme a su voluntad. Pero ahora es el momento de empezar a decir: Dios, ayúdame a desarrollar estas cosas en mi vida. ¿Okay? Voy a orar por ti, levanta tus manos. ¿Okay? Padre, Father, by the blood of Jesus, I commit this soul into your hands. She te be ke te by kaya. Ye te do robo sendiribia. Kanda raba baba baba si. Father, I pray, cover his heart. Lead him, God, and prepare him, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just pray for you if you'll just step out here really quickly, both of you. Amen. Y'all married here? Yeah, put that down for me if you would. Amen. Just take hands. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord would say, for even such a time as this, I brought you to this place for my purposes and for my doing. It is not by accident nor by happen chance, but I have been working behind the scenes for many years, says the Lord, and I am doing a perfect work. Establish yourself even in this place. I shall complete and fulfill even those desires that have been deeply hidden in your heart. And you said, well, I don't know how it's going to be accomplished, but I, the Lord, shall accomplish these things, my purposes and my plans for your life. But let it be on this day a deep seeking and a deep searching for me, says the Lord thy God. And I shall visit you in your quiet time, in your time of seeking. My spirit shall come upon you, and things shall be made clear in time, says the Lord. Precious God, I'm asking you, Lord God, to order this couple's steps, order their lives, oh Lord God. Help them to press in and see, Lord, what you're aiming to do in and through their lives for your glory. Even in these final days, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come here, teddy bear. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Take off that hat for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Amen. How long you been coming to church? A little over a year. Okay. Amen. So as you're hearing the message, God is speaking to your heart, and this is not a natural thing. God wants you to know this is not a natural thing. This is supernatural. And he wants you to begin to ask him and to seek him. Say, Lord, all the things you're talking about, not just what he can do, but how he can deliver some areas in your life, how he can heal some areas of your life. There has been some, and I was kind of messing with you, but there has been some searching there. I was kind of messing with you, but I really wasn't. Is there some things that are deep hidden, maybe some hurts, and God wants to heal that first in your life, and God's going to do that. He's going to heal that for you. And but then more than that, as you're understanding that this is spiritual, I'm a normal man speaking as a representative for God, that you're going to be able to be again tapping into that, and even as I'm being able to speak to people, you're going to be able to speak to people as well. Okay, so God's going to heal those inner things first. Okay, he's going to heal it. And then as you are understanding that this is spiritual, you're going to be seeking him in that way. And then God's going to be able to begin flowing through your life as he designs and as he purposed. Okay, all right, I want to pray a prayer with you. Say, God in heaven, lift up your hands as a sign of surrender. Just say, God in heaven, help me today. Every hurt, every offense, and every evil word spoken against me, I reject. My identity is hidden in you. From my heart, I forgive those who have damaged me, those who have abandoned me. And from my heart, I forgive them. I loose them. And now I'm asking you, Lord, to heal the inner woundings in my psyche, in my mind, and relieve that pressure. I'm repenting of all sin, and I'm calling on you, Jesus, for full forgiveness and for restoration. Let your peace and your calm be my portion in Jesus' name. Father, loose him right now, Father, by the in Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen, amen. I just want to pray for you. I know I kind of prayed for you a couple last night, but hold hands, amen. And so there is you need to understand that God is involved. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Have you not said, Lord, what is my purpose and what is my place? Have you not questioned about why you're saved and even brought to this place? Yes, you have functioned well and you are crowned even in my house. And even your presence makes a difference, says the Lord thy God. But the Lord would say, even on this day, my son, I call you to cry out to me. I call you to ask me those deep and hidden things in your heart. It's not by the accolades nor the success of life, but all that I'm aiming to do, it shall be even from the lowly and the lowly of heart. And I'm aiming to do great things and mighty things, even through your life, even through you as a couple, says the Lord thy God. Be interested in me, says the Lord thy God. Know that I have a design purpose for you. Last night I spoke about the thoughts or the different kind of doubt kind of things that kind of come there. And God says, I have removed those things. He's removed those things. And now that that's removed, whatever reservation, however small it may have been, he said, now is the moment where I'm going to begin to elevate you and do something powerful in your lives, starting even on this day. Amen. Lord, I'm asking you to touch my brother. Give him wisdom. Give him revelation and understanding, God. Cause him to move in lockstep with you. Oh, Lord God, lead him and guide him, Lord. And as you're leading him, Lord God, the wife that you've given, she indeed will follow. She will follow the path and the structure, Lord God, that you are given to this man. And I'm asking you, Lord, to cover them and to help them. Give them strength to trust you and to believe on you, Lord, for their future and their destiny in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's just give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. Let's just give God praise. Let's just magnify his name. I have a few other things that we're going to say perhaps to you on tonight. But for time's sake, we'll have to do that on this evening. Amen. That's all I have. Let's worship the Lord as your pastor comes. Father.